Today, markets reach correction territory and find no place to hide. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm latest post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update. We'll be starting in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. Markets have remained highly volatile thanks to the war in the Gulf, already fueling higher prices and inflation around the globe. As I reported yesterday, the OECD called out slower growth thanks to the conflict, and all eyes are on Trump, his posts and comments, and the blizzard of conflicting noise from the White House, as hopes for a near-term ceasefire between the US and Iran faded. Trump announced late on Thursday that a White House deadline for Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz or face US attacks on energy facilities would be extended until April the 6th. Up to this point, it seemed markets were largely looking through the hoped-for short-term disruption to oil, LNG, fertilizers, pharmaceuticals, and other commodities like helium, on the basis that, with the midterm elections looming, Trump would likely err on the side of moving hard and fast to achieve his objectives. US Secretary of State Marco Rubio told a group of seven foreign ministers meeting in Paris that the war would continue for another 2 to 4 weeks. But the truth is, Trump does not hold all the cards, and others may push for a longer war. And we should note that the Israeli military claims it's identified the launch of a missile from Yemen after Iran's Houthi allies threatened to join the fighting. The statement, made early on Saturday, follows reports the previous day that Iran had attacked Tel Aviv with at least 5 rounds of missiles in about 5 hours, triggering air defense systems and warning sirens late on Friday and into Saturday. It was the first such statement mentioning a launch from Yemen during the war, which has ended its second month. Some markets now are in correction territory, and more falls are highly likely ahead. The global MSCI index is down 8.43% over the past month, while the Stoxx 600 is down 9.24% and the ASX down 7.42%, but with the US moves on Friday yet to show in Australia. US stocks ended deep in the red on Friday, with both the NASDAQ and Dow Jones Industrial Average closing into correction territory. Each index is now 10% lower than their respective recent peaks. Volatility spiked higher too, with the VIX above 31. The NASDAQ Composite slumped 2.2% in New York as oil topped $114 a barrel earlier in the week. It's currently sitting at $106 for Brent, leading US gasoline prices to surge to an average of about $4 a gallon. This could squeeze consumer spending, of course. The Dow was down another 1.7% on Friday, while the S&P 500 fell 1.7% to 6,367, as consumer discretionary and financial stocks led 8 of the 11 industry sectors lower. Meta Platforms and Amazon each shed another 4% as each of the Magnificent Seven slid. Nvidia was down now 19.1% from its October peak, and it could still drop further. Carnival ended 4.4% lower on Friday after the world's largest cruise line operator slashed its full-year 2026 adjusted profit guidance. Rising fuel prices have led to travel-related companies such as Carnival and the US airlines to issue warnings about a hit to the bottom line. Carnival said its guidance assumed Brent averaged $90 a barrel for the remainder of April and May and $85 for the third quarter, and $80 a barrel for the fourth quarter. The yield on the US 10-year note was at 4.43%, having earlier topped 4.48% for the first time since July, and the 2-year was at 3.914%. Markets have all but erased expectations of Federal Reserve interest rate reductions this year, and they've even begun to contemplate possible rate hikes in the months ahead. Fed policymakers left rates unchanged at a meeting last week, but noted the threat of possibly accelerating inflation was there in the noise. According to the latest consumer sentiment survey for March from the University of Michigan published on Friday, inflation expectations had their largest one-month increase since April last year. Consumer sentiment fell back 6% this month to its lowest level since December 2025. Declines were seen across age and political parties. Consumers with middle and higher incomes and stock wealth buffeted by both escalating gas prices and volatile financial markets in the wake of the Iran conflict exhibited particularly large drops in sentiment, they said. The US dollar firmed with a DXY over 100, and while gold advanced on Friday, it still declined across the week and is down 13.79% from recent highs. Investors fled to the safety of the US dollar as Iran threatened to expand its maritime operations in the Bab el Mandeb Strait, complementing the effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Next week's US employment report headlines a fresh batch of economic data for stock investors, who will also closely follow developments in the Iran war as it enters its second month. Tuesday brings an end to a rough first quarter for US equities. On top of the Iran conflict, concerns about business disruption from artificial intelligence and weakness in the private credit market have also rattled stocks. The market's valuations have moderated in recent weeks. The S&P 500 PE ratio, based on earnings estimates for the next 12 months, was last below 20, down from over 22 at the start of the year, as investors are seeking to understand the implications for corporate profits from the war and the resulting surge in energy prices. A dip in the S&P 500 below 6,600 is, quote, kick-starting policy panic, though current signals still show no evidence of bull capitulation or broader macro panic, according to Bank of America's Michael Harnett in a note. He still expects the policy backdrop to evolve into broader support for markets. We assume policy panic to avoid a recession, he wrote, recommending long yield curve steepeners alongside consumer stocks as the preferred trades. European stocks dropped on Friday, with the Pan-European Stoxx 600 down 0.9%, the DAX in Germany down 1.4%, and the CAC 40 in France down 0.9%. The FTSE in the UK was flat. Bond yields climbed again, with the German 10-year up to 3.1%, and the UK gilt hovered around 5% with unusually large swings. Rates are going higher. Norway's Norges Bank was the latest central bank to flag inflation risk and interest rate hikes ahead as the war raged on. Having held policy steady on Thursday, the bank said it expected to raise rates this year, a stark contrast with an earlier forecast of three cuts by the end of 2028. While British stocks inched lower, the pound weakened to 1.3262 against the US dollar as ongoing Middle East tensions weighed on sentiment. And fresh regional data showed a drop in February retail sales amid softening consumer sentiment. UK retail sales volumes fell 0.4% month over month in February 2026, according to the official data on Friday, beating consensus forecasts for a 0.7% decline. The February drop followed a revised 2% month over month increase in January, previously reported at 1.8%. The decline was broad-based, affecting five of the seven main retail categories that are tracked by the Office of National Statistics. The Bank of England announced on Friday that it is lowering and fixing the price of its discount window facility to strengthen its role as an accessible on-demand liquidity tool. The changes are designed to support firms' liquidity management while maintaining incentives for prudent day-to-day operations. AstraZeneca shares rose 3.5% after the company announced that its drug tozorakimab met its primary endpoint in two phase 3 clinical trials for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. The pharmaceutical company reported positive results from the Oberon and Titania trials on Thursday, showing that the drug reduced the annualized rate of moderate to severe COPD exacerbations compared with placebo in the primary population of former smokers and in the overall population. Shares in Harbour Energy fell 2.8% after Germany's BASF sold 80 million shares in the British oil producer at 273 pence each. That's a 9% discount to the previous close. Harbour Energy will not receive any proceeds from the sale. The FTSE listed company shares traded at 291 pence, recovering from a session low of 273 pence, which matched the placing price. Asian stocks were swept up in the global rout on Friday, tracking Wall Street lower as the threat of a protracted energy shock out of the war-torn Middle East set borrowing costs spiralling higher. On Friday, the MSCI broadest index of Asia-Pacific shares outside Japan tumbled 1.4% for a weekly drop of 3%. Japan's Nikkei 225 skidded 1.3% and was down 0.9% for the week. South Korea's KOSPI plunged 3%, bringing its weekly loss again to a staggering 8.5%. Chinese blue chips fell 1%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index slipped 0.4%, and the Indian Nifty 50 fell more than 2% on Friday. City analysts said more severe scenarios of the Middle East conflict could drag global growth below 2% this year, pushing headline inflation beyond 4% and stoke recession risk. Asia, particularly Korea, Japan, and India, face the most intense headwinds due to the heavy reliance on imported fuel and direct exposure disruptions in the Straits of Hormuz, they said in the note. Australian shares managed to snap a three-week losing streak, with investors weighing shifting signals on a potential Middle East peace deal as the conflict entered its fifth week. The ASX 200 rose 1.04% for the week. That's the first gain since the Iran war began on February 28th, despite falling just a little to 8,516 on Friday. The conflict has wreaked havoc since a record close on March 2nd, with the ASX 200 falling as much as 9.1% from its peak, wiping out about $300 billion in value at its lowest point. The ASX energy sector has risen 20% since the conflict began. On Friday, Santos rose 1.3% to $7.95 and Ampol by 2% to $3.79. Woodside Energy gained 0.3% to $34.47, even as it shut Northwest Shelf production due to tropical cyclone Narelle. And the government over the weekend announced plans to, quote, underwrite oil delivery into Australia. So interesting to see how markets react to this on Monday. Whitehaven Coal jumped 4.9% to $9.23 after a UBS upgrade to buy, citing gas to coal switching because of disruption to supply and rising prices. Technology companies led losses, with NextDC down 7.9% to $11.44 as it abandoned its quest to raise $500 million from the bond markets, and Codan was down 5.9% to $32.37. Financials weighed as National Australia Bank dropped 1.3% to $41.99, and Macquarie slipped 2.2% to $201.42. Materials reduced total losses in the past month to around 15% after a 4.5% rebound this week. Friday saw strong gains from the major miners, with BHP up 0.3% to $50.37, Rio Tinto by 1.5% to $150.23, and Fortescue by 1.7% to $20.19, and IGO by 3.9% to $7.93 after a UBS upgrade. Of course, the question is, can they still get diesel going into their operations ahead? BlueScope Steel fell 0.4% to $26.73 as it advanced plans to develop a 1,200-hectare surplus land portfolio across New South Wales and Victoria, with more than 60% already zoned. And ANZ fell 0.4% to $36.49. This came as it hired two co-managing directors, Michael Perrick and Trevor Vale, to lead its scandal-plagued markets division. Suncorp gained 0.1% to $16.42 after saying that Chief Executive Steve Johnson would take temporary leave following a medical procedure, with Chief Finance Officer Jeremy Robson acting as Chief Executive. Assistant Governor Chris Kent warned during the week that while the RBA cannot stop a negative supply shock pushing prices higher, it can, quote, ensure that the initial rise in prices does not lead to a rise in longer-term inflationary expectations and extended inflationary pressures. That, of course, is code for more hikes are coming, as the recent data showed with regards to inflation expectations. The two-year Treasury was up to 4.82%, while the 10-year was at 5.13%, and the RBA is now priced in for a peak cash rate of 4.8% as the combined oil, gas and fertilizer price shock could eventually rationalize rate increases that hit or exceed the 5% threshold, depending on how they are reflected in core inflation. That was coincidentally when the RBA should have lifted its policy rate back in 2024, but decided against doing so in the name of a politicized experiment to overcook the economy ahead of a federal election, to quote Chris Joy in the AFR. The Aussie dropped back to 68.73 US cents and 51.84 UK pence. In passing, note the motion to disallow the cash mandate regulation moved by Senator Roberts has been deferred until Tuesday, the 31st of March. The Greens want to expand the access to cash and so cannot support the current limited mandate. More on this, see my recent show with Robbie Barwick. In the current environment, cash is king. Finally, in crypto, Bitcoin finished the week in the red as the intensifying war in the Middle East continues to drain investor appetite for riskier assets. The leading cryptocurrency slipped around 3% to trade at $66,373 US, following a brief news-driven rally earlier in the session. The latest leg down was exacerbated by a massive $14.16 billion options expiry on Friday, which saw over $115 million worth in long positions liquidated in a single hour. However, the underlying bearish pressure is largely fueled by the war and sticky inflation. Until a credible ceasefire is reached, Bitcoin is expected to remain trapped in a high volatile range, dictated more by the bond market's reaction to the conflict than by internal industry catalysts. World number two crypto Ether fell 2.95% to $1,997 US and was down 3.91% for the week. Looking ahead, we should expect more mixed messages from the White House on Iran, while on Tuesday, the Reserve Bank of Australia is set to release minutes from its February policy meeting. That's when the cash rate was increased by 25 basis points to 4.1% in a close 5-4 decision. And we also get building approvals on Wednesday, which will be interesting as the increasing costs and supply issues for diesel start to bite. And we should get job vacancies and trade data on Thursday. Overseas, China will release March manufacturing and non-manufacturing sector updates. TD Securities said it expects both to remain in contraction. And in the US, it's a week for labor data with job openings, ADP private data, and March payrolls, plus retail sales. It's probably too soon to see the war impact yet, but we'll see. And we'll also get more Fed speak, where the theme of uncertainty will certainly be central. And that's the point, really. Nobody quite knows how this is going to play out. There is definitely more downside risk to markets. And frankly, until we get resolution of the US situation in the Middle East, well, things are going to play pretty bad, I think. More downside risk, more uncertainty, more volatility. And sometimes, as I say, cash remains king. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.